In Italy, it's totally the opposite. Italian fans don't care anything about the effort. They only want to see skillful players, and they want results, big results. Otherwise, you're in trouble. And they will make sure that you understand that. And therefore, I would say that when you win something in England, it is definitely a joy. Unlike in Italy, where if you win, it's more like some kind of relief. You know, you can send your wife to the supermarket without putting her in big trouble. So, totally the opposite. I think that when foreign players come to the Premiership, they very quickly adapt. They understand that they have to play the game the English way, the way that the players, the fans want them to play. Because the DNA of English football is so strong. When I first came to London and played in the Premiership for a few years, I think that I got better. I think that English football brought the best out of myself. Not in terms of the level of my performances, but more like in my attitude, my desire to play according to the rules and stop diving, for example, as well as sort of trying to play with the right spirit, the true spirit, sportsmanship, and all that stuff. But you know, it's not all great, especially my own country, because sometimes football has taken the wrong path. We have all seen these episodes of corruption, match fixing. I would say we've seen a lot of people trying to break the rules and in order to achieve their own personal objectives. And I think that is a major threat. And I think that we all have a duty, as you know, whoever is involved in football, to keep, we've got to keep our eyes open and make sure that, because it's a very fast spreading disease. It happened in Italy, it might happen to the Premiership one day. So let's keep an eye on that in order to make sure that we do our best to keep English football and the Premiership, you know, the way it is, true and fair. And that is another, you know, very big appealing stuff that English football has compared to other leagues. It is perceived, rightly perceived, as being a clean game. So let's keep it that way. To finish my introduction, my long introduction, I should say. I've been involved in football, as I said, for many, many years. And I think now that I'm 51, I got to a point where I really feel it is my duty, as I owe it to the game, to always look for ways to make the game a better game and to help it to become more successful and to improve it. So when I was asked by Fausto and Tifosi to get involved, I was very willing to say, yes, because I think this is a great concept and creates a win-win scenario. And I think that we at Tifosi, we can help football and football clubs basically in two ways. One is to make them financially sustainable and to be able to compete better on and off the pitch. And the second way is to strengthen the very important relationship between the clubs and the football fans. We don't want football fans to feel like they're only clients. We want them to feel like they're a partner in a partnership. So thank you very much for listening. Now I hand over to Fausto, the CEO and founder of Tifosi. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Fausto Zanatom. I'm the founder and CEO of Tifosi. I was looking very hard for a picture of me winning the FA Cup, but I couldn't find any, so I'll play you a video instead. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, here this afternoon. Look, for me, crowdfunding is like a mathematical formula. Football is the most popular game in the world. As you saw in the video, half of the world's populations are football fans. That's 3.5 billion people. That's a massive number. It's a truly universal sport. It unlocks passion everywhere. For example, Cristiano Ronaldo has 10 times more followers than the LA Lakers. So it's a truly, truly global sport. Everybody wants a piece of that action. Sponsors, corporate partners, even institutional investors are looking at football now as an alternative asset class. So rich or poor, black or white, male or female, everybody loves football, wants to get closer to their club. They want to be connected. And that is what the internet and social media do. You know, they connect people. The age has arrived that is a real possibility, and clubs can benefit from that. Is that happening right now? I mean, not according to us. I mean, so far, what have the clubs been doing? So they set up Facebook pages, they post stuff on the walls, they engage with their fans on Twitter. But is it a real revenue stream? No, they derive zero revenue streams from the online engagement from their fans. So why not involve fans in investing, having them invest in their club? You know, can a guy in Indonesia who will never be able to go to a game feel closer to their club and contribute to that? You know, can he own a share? Can he fund a training facility? Can he help finance a new stadium that the club needs? That's what Tifosi is all about. So coming back to my mathematical formula. So there are 728 first division clubs in Europe, and many more thousands in the lower leagues. There is 25 billion worth of financing need, of which 15 billion just alone in Europe on the stadium side over the next 5 years. However, how much is being raised online by football clubs now? Zero. I mean, to us, that doesn't make any sense. But if you think that 25 billion, if every football fan in the world puts £1 over the next 5 years, football wouldn't need financial institutions, there's no more banks, there's no funds to finance this business. So it's an opportunity for taking. So clubs have access to these billions of people. And if they engage the fans in the right way, if fans believe that the money that is put to work in the clubs is there for good use, you know, clubs can really benefit from that. I mean, that's the real power of crowdfunding. So a little bit about the industry. As you know, and some of you know this way better than I do, there is a lot of inequality in football. With a new TV deal kicking in here in the UK next year, you will have a situation that you will have around 25 to 30 super clubs in the world, right? So that's the 20 Premier League teams, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, PSG, and maybe a couple of other clubs if you stretch it a bit, right? But the rest, the situation is very difficult, and the inequality is massive. Even now, before the new TV deal kicks in, just the broadcasting piece of the Premier League is higher than the revenues of the second largest league in the world, which is the Bundesliga. Real Madrid now has revenues that are three times those of Inter Milan. Stoke City has revenues that are higher than Ajax, right? If you just look domestically, the Premier League has revenues that are eight times higher on average than a Championship club, more than 20 times than a League One club. So if you're not part of this elite group, you know, it's time, according to us, to become more creative about your financing, because the financing windows will be shut. So that's why crowdfunding makes sense. That's why having a conversation with us makes a lot of sense, because there is 3.5 billion people out there that are all connected to the clubs through their mobile phones, on the internet, through social media. They're a huge resource that the clubs can tap into. So a quick snapshot on the crowdfunding industry. I mean, 5 years ago, there was nothing. You could not raise money online, right? So the amounts were tiny. 2010, as you saw in the video, was less than $1 billion. We are now in 2015 at $100 billion already. And this is an industry that's at its infancy. This will be trillions of dollars a couple of years from now, because it makes sense. I mean, this is a structural shift in finance. The train is leaving in one direction. And if you're not in those top 30 clubs, you just need to get on the train. So this is money that's raised on crowdfunding platforms that are donation-based, like a Kickstarter, like an Indiegogo, but also on more financially driven platforms that are focused on crowd investing, peer-to-peer lending. Like in the UK, you have, for example, Funding Circle, Zopa, Cedars, etc. These are all very general platforms where the typical football fan will not feel at home. So that's why we have built a platform that is football specific. We want to create a destination where both the club and the fan feels comfortable. You might think, you know, football is special. Football, you know, why would any fan give money online? Could a club actually raise money? I mean, the answer is yes. Football fits crowdfunding perfectly. I mean, over the years, there is a template to do crowdfunding. It's very simple. You need three things. You need a large audience, you need a meaningful cause, and you need exciting rewards or returns. And football has all three. It's really a unique property that can raise capital online. Number one, football has the crowd. If there's anybody in the world that can bring people together, if there's one thing in the world that everybody likes, it's football. So it's millions of people just at the tip of the fingers of a football club. They're just there. The club just need to activate those people, engage them in the right way. Secondly, meaningful causes. As you've seen in the video, there are tens of stadiums that have to be built, places where the football fan will go and physically consume their experience. And the fan can really get behind. And then rewards and returns. So clubs have a large inventory of rewards that can be very, very attractive for the typical football fan. It's player experiences, it's memorabilia, club discounts. So there is a lot of things that do not cost a lot of money for the club, but are just worth a lot for the fan. And also on a more financial side, I'm convinced that fans can really have a positive financial relationship with their club. They can own a share or they can invest in their club through a bond. Why would that not be possible? I mean, currently you get between 0 and 1% on your savings account, right? If you can get, you know, 4 or 5% for your club and you get some store discount, you know, at the same time you can invest in your club, help your club and get a bit of money. Right? And for the club, at the same time, many clubs have a cost of capital more than 10%. You know, it's a very cheap way of financing your business. And your main client, which is the fan, and it's an ugly word to say client, is much more connected. And you can in a way, monetize them. So a little bit more about Tifosi. So the word comes from Italian, means fan. So we really want to put the fan at the center of the experience. So our mission is to enable everybody to invest in football in a fair and transparent way. The internet is perfect for that, right? If you commit as a club to raise capital online and you put in stone and the internet, you cannot erase anything, the fan will believe you, right? And this is a great way to bring that commitment to the community and to the fans. So what we do, so we are the platform, the website in the middle. So we work with the clubs, structure fundraising campaigns and put them online on our website. So fans come to our website, they invest in their club in return for a very exciting reward or a financial return, which is a share or a bond. So why would you work with us? I mean, why would the club not do this themselves? I mean, just because we are specialists at this and we are there every step of the way. All the other generalist crowdfunding platforms are a DIY, do-it-yourself model. So the clubs get zero help. Oftentimes, clubs need to set a target. If they don't reach it, you know, they don't get the money. So all the effort is raised. With us, we structure these campaigns together with the clubs. All the money that you raise, you can keep. So in terms of work, what do we actually do? So we research a fan base, we structure the campaign, we provide the content and the design, produce the campaign video, we take care of the technology, we drive the marketing, social media, and we execute and fulfill the rewards with the club. So that's a lot of work, and we are there with the club every step of the way. So it's really a unique service that nobody else provides, and it's 24/7. So let us talk a little bit about some projects that we have done and in the process of, of doing, so it becomes a little bit more tangible. So our first project was Portsmouth FC. So we wanted a club close to home. We're based in London, and test our assumptions, because I had a lot of ideas how to change the industry, but I really wanted that first proof of concept. So Portsmouth was perfect. So they were in need of financing, but they had a very strong fan base, which was very loyal. So it was great to use that as an experiment. So how did it start? I mean, the club was actually very smart. So they pulled their fan base up front to see if they actually wanted to do this. So, I mean, Colin is sitting here, who's in charge of PR and marketing at Portsmouth Football Club. So he sent a questionnaire to 5,000 people, right? And the response rate you get from the club is from your fans is just incredible. So everybody filled out those questionnaires. And the question was, would you support the club through crowdfunding? Right, and it was just an enormous amount of people that said yes. I think it was 25, 30 people. I presume also some didn't really know what crowdfunding was, but the response was just very positive, because it was a way to support your club. Even by putting in £20, you didn't need to buy a £1,000 share, which was how the club got saved in the first place. So it was a way of raising capital that was accessible to everybody, rich and poor, it doesn't matter, you could have been part of that. So we launched this campaign, lasted 8 weeks, there was zero marketing spent on it, and we raised £270,000 in 8 weeks to raise capital for training facilities for the youth academy. So a very valid, meaningful cause that really resonated well with the fan base. Up to this date, it's still the largest football crowdfunding campaign ever done. We had contributions from more than 35 countries. I mean, the average contribution was more than £50, right? 27% of the total we raised, more than £60,000, were virtual rewards. So it was a virtual square meter and ownership of the training pitch that needed to be constructed. So you might think, this is not worth anything. Right, so the cost obviously for the club was zero, but for the fans it was such a meaningful certificate to have, so they could be part of that experience. So I mean, it was for the club £62,000 in their pocket at 100% margin. For the fans, it was just an amazing experience, and they didn't mind that it was a virtual reward. So we had 8% conversion, which means of 100 people hitting the website, 8 people would contribute. That's an enormous amount in the internet, right? If you look at normal e-commerce websites, it's around 2%. So we had a 4x type of conversion there. 60% of people shared post contribution. So you created like this virtual loop, but basically brought more and more traffic, and people kept contributing. 20% of people came back every day just to check the status of the campaign, get updates on the news. Yet even fans, there was one fan that contributed 39 times. I mean, that's how engaging this campaign was. And so for us, it was really the proof of concept to really start this company for real and reach out to many, many more clubs, which is where we are right now. So, give me 1 second. So Parma is a campaign that we launched last weekend. So as you know, this is a very historical club. I mean, in terms of titles, international titles, it's the fourth most popular in Italy after, the two Milan teams and Luca's Juventus. And so a great tradition, but because of financial mismanagement, they went all the way down into administration and into the fourth league of Italian football. But what did the club do? So the new owners, said, look, we're going to do this differently. We're going to involve the fan here. We're going to be fully transparent. The way we manage our finances, the way that we create this community club, and we're going to work away from the bottom up. So this fitted perfectly with our corporate ethos, which is why we started talking earlier this summer. So our target here is to raise £150,000 To build a museum, to remember the history of the club, for the fans, it's fundamental that the 100 years that the club has been in existence, that it's there forever. So they want to have this museum. So we talked to them. This is a project that they want to do. So we had a fantastic reaction there. So we launched a campaign in the main square with really thousands of people. There was no publicity about us. It just showed up with one Facebook post that the club put out. So we made a very emotional video that is part of every campaign. I mean, after a couple of days, it's already shared more than 5,000 times online. Our campaign page is shared more than 700 times. And after a week, we've raised more than 45,000 euros with zero marketing spend. You can just imagine if you actually put, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 of real marketing in a campaign like that, how much more you can raise. Contributions are coming again from all over the world, countries that the club didn't even know they had fans. The average contribution is more than 100 euros. So the club is selling shares for 500 euros as well as a top reward. So fans, express an indication of interest on the platform. After a couple of days, we already have more than 250 people on the platform that want to become Parma Calcio new shareholders. It's an incredible number. The club has hundreds more people that they directly can attract as well. So for me, this is a proof that the fan wants to be involved. It's a proof that fan ownership can work, and also that the club can have a financial relationship with the club. And I think that this can become the largest crowdfunding campaign ever in football, right? With zero marketing, a purely organic campaign. So our last campaign that we're actually launching right here at SoccerX is a bit of an experiment, but for us it's very important, you know, and we want to take on a number of campaigns like that during the year, because given that football is so emotional, passionate, from time to time we want to do experiments with the arts of the possible, you know, run projects that are still fan driven, where people can invest in projects that matter to them, still in a fair and transparent way. And George Best is such a universal figure that we believe crowdfunding is perfect to finance a movie about his life. We thought it would be really cool to get his fans involved, not just to raise the money to make the movie happen, but also to make him part of this journey in the creation of that movie, where as a fan, you can be a real part. You can star in the movie, you can become, you can get named in the credits, you can get very exclusive rewards, pictures of yourself in the movie, posters, t-shirts specifically designed here. So here we're raising £500,000 to provide extra finances for the movie to make the life of the producers easier to actually bring this project to fruition. So we're kicking off this campaign here at SoccerX. We will be holding an event here at Old Trafford on Wednesday at 6 p.m. So you're all invited. I think there should be an invitation on your chair. Should be some cool celebrities as well. So it should be a great event. So come there. Otherwise, come to our stand. We're here for the 3 days at stand 182. And come talk to us about any project that you have, or just to brainstorm. I think that would be great. So I think this is the end of the presentation. And so if you have any questions, myself, Luca, or Colin from Portsmouth can help you answer that. Percent. Yeah.
So I was just correcting my boss. He said 25 or 30 people responded to the survey and said crowdfunding would be a good idea. That was 25 or 30% of the 5,000. Yeah. Sorry.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, Daniel.